Yes, please. Any questions?
Okay. Yeah. So yesterday there was, I think the bulk of the cheer had to do with philosophy, existence, and so forth.
Yeah.
And the philosopher, the mathematician, Descartes, yeah, was mentioned.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned, Rosh Hashiva, that there was a machlokas between Rosh Hashiva and Descartes. So I'm trying to simplify it. Okay. So Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. Okay. So, in the simplest form, is Rav Hirsch saying, no, I am, therefore I think? Is that the basis of their...
That explains, I guess. First, I want to explain the background to this. If you want to understand the word of Hashem and the teaching of Hashem, we don't really need to go and discuss all the different ideas that developed amongst the non-Jews. And especially is this so with regard to one of the basic differences. Even Western civilization, with all its culture, philosophy and science, so the sages say, Yes Chochma Bagoyim Tamim. There's wisdom amongst the nations, that's true. But there's no Torah. Because Torah means, I'm not talking about non-Jews who follow and keep the Noahide code, because that's the word of Hashem. Because the way of the nations has been either to worship idols or to say that man is the measure of all things. The human mind is what decides what is true and false. And even they say, what is that? Well, good and evil is the human mind. Whilst we say no, we say absolute truth exists only with Hashem. And He has revealed this absolute truth in the Torah. Both the Torah He gave to Noah, and also the Torah He gave to Am Yisrael, both the written Torah as well as the oral Torah. So therefore, our criteria of truth is the Torah. But, it's that Rav Hirsch is really famous in the world for his description and application of Torah in Derech Eretz, to combine Torah with culture. If that was necessary, he used it as a means to go and attract the Jews in Germany and Europe, Western Europe particularly, and later on even in Eastern Europe, Maskilim, who were attracted by the non-Jewish way, based upon Greek ideas and Roman ideas, and great intellects amongst the non-Jews. So in order to draw them, he also sometimes referred to them. But he, more than anyone else, I would say, is particular truth you take only from the Torah. So, on this matter, it comes out good if you analyze. He wants to explain, what does it mean in the Chumash, I am that I am? You ask a human person, who are you? He says, I am that I am. It's a meaningless statement. That means, I know you are you. So why do you tell me I am that I am? But the concept of am and I am is that, the easiest way I put it was the simple question, one of the major evidences brought for the existence of Hashem by all thinkers, also including Jewish thinkers, is that everything has a cause, and how can you explain the cause of the universe? So that's the first cause. And this is a concept that is found also in the prophets and the Jewish tradition. Because how can you explain the enormous marvels in the world unless you assume there's a power above that produced it? So then when you ask the question, well, who is this first cause? He's invisible. Because it's beyond the human mind. But as it says in so many psukim, if you you cook a beef in the snuff. Ayotze ayin alo yabit. Ayotze osna lo yishma. The person who created the eye, surely he can see. The person, and let me give this an example of some of Darwin's evolution of species. When he discusses it, you know, he was really a cleric, Darwin. A cleric also studied science. Yeah. And in the whole of his book, he just puts forward a theory. When he comes to discuss the human eye, is there's no way you can explain the human eye by any form of evolutionary or natural selection discussion. It demonstrates a miracle from God above nature. Well, it admits it. The human eye, you can't explain any other way to the Creator. So really, Moshe Rabbeinu was asked, what name shall I give to Am Yisrael? So the answer he was given by Hashem was Am Dat Am. Am Dat Am means that while everything else is caused, if everything is caused, it's also relative. The effect is related always to the cause.
What pasuk is that again? Rosh Hashanah?
No. The effect is always related to the cause, by everything else, but not by Hashem. Hashem is absolute existence, which is not related. That's what it means, I am that I am. Everything else exists because Hashem exists, or because other angels of Hashem exist, or other messengers of Hashem exist, or other forces of Hashem that exist. He creates the forces, and the forces produce the phenomena. They produce the trees and the animals and so on. You see different forces at work, produce the solid world and so on. But it's all dependent on something else. Hashem is the cause who has created, just like created time. He created space, he created causality. So that's the simple answer without even going into the explanation of Rav Hirsch. He starts analyzing language. So Rav Hirsch says, well, if you want to analyze the Hebrew language, let us start with the name of Hashem. The name of Hashem is difficult to understand. Or we say the name of Hashem with Lashon Adnot. Yeah? When we say the name of Hashem, when I was at school, at a non-Jewish school, I always refused to transcribe the name of Hashem, as many of them do today. You know, there's the J witnesses. You know how they pronounce it. I don't know what to say it. Yes, it's really a transcription of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The witnesses, they use it, and then in scholarly discussions, also in many Bibles, it puts down the Shem Havaya, you know, in English. I would never pronounce it. I used to ask, why don't you pronounce it? So I gave this explanation as well. I don't pronounce it. It's called Shem HaMeforash because you're not allowed to explain it, to say it. When is it said? When was it said in the Beit HaMikdash?
On Yom Kippur.
On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Godal.
In the Kodesh.
When we bow down, on the Shona and Yom Kippur service, we bow down. Especially in the Yom Kippur service, we even reenact the Avodah of the Kohen Godal, his service in the temple, the Holy of Holies, where he bowed down when they heard the name of Hashem pronounced by the Kohen Gadol in holiness, bikdusha, and the purity of Atara, hayukorim mishtachem, they bowed down on the earth and they prostrated themselves. And we do so as well, the only time in the year when we actually prostrate ourselves right down. So this is because the name of Hashem, his true name, is to recognize that he is the source of all existence. But we should think about in our minds, Shivit Hashem Dekhti Tamed, you should think in your mind, Hashem is the source of, even the source of my thoughts. But this, I'm thinking. It's my idea. Do you think it's your idea? You said, no, it's often, if you have in mind, Shivit Hashem Dekhti Tamed, ideas, good ideas will drop into your mind. It's Hashem. That Hashem is the source of thought. Therefore he puts it into our minds through the power of the Neshama. Often, you get me? So that is the concept, the Shem, we don't pronounce it. So it says like this, let's say, it's really, it's just a phrase when I put it,
It's called Cartesian philosophy. Descartes,
the
en français, Descartes. Oh yeah, Descartes. Philosophe הכי גדול של של הצרפתים. So Descartes said, cogito ergo sum, that's the famous phrase. We've got a professor here, so you know about it, you've heard these things. So Rav Hirsch says, no, what the Shemai teaches us is cogito ergo sum. Because when it says Vayomer, in the beginning of the Tanakh, it says Vayomer Hashem, Yi'or Vayi'or. What's Vayomer mean? You spoke? He said the words, Yi'or Vayi'or. He said those words? Did he say them like we speak?
No.
Vayomer, Vaydaber means really he created speech. Yes. Hashem created the words. Just like they were, he inscribed them in an unusual and miraculous fashion, he created the words. Vayomer means he had the explanation. It was his thought that produced. We say that Rabu Masecha Hashem, how great are your deeds, Mod Amku Mashavotecha, how deep are your thoughts. So the depth of the thought of Hashem was that light, the energy of light should be produced. So it became produced by Yom. He says, the root of existence in Hebrew, the Hebrew root to exist, what's the Hebrew root?
Hashem.
Just a minute, what's the Hebrew root? No, to anything you say to exist.
Kayam.
That's established.
Dabar.
Huh?
Dabar.
That's Hashem's
but
name.
Something will, even in human speech, can. Let's say, tomorrow there's going to be a meeting. Why do you say it in Hebrew?
What time is the meeting?
Machar tiye asefa. Tomorrow there's going to be a meeting. Tiye.
Yeah. Hashem's name.
You can also, just a minute. You could also say, Machar yiye ha'ot hazeh. Tomorrow there will be a certain sign. Machar yiye geshem. Tomorrow is going to be rain. A person can say that. So the Hebrew word to exist is hayom. All the root of all these is existence. Therefore, the name of Hashem we're not allowed to pronounce means existence. It means existence. The name of Hashem, which we not pronounce, means existence. Which form of existence? That's another question. But basically means the way, in fact the way it's transcribed in many non-Jewish writings, it means He causes all existence. Yeah? It's causative. And you can put so many different vowel signs under the name of Hashem, which create different forms, different meanings as well. But the main meaning is He causes all existence. So Rav Hirsch says the word Hoyo to exist in Hebrew language is connected with the word Hogo. Because Yud and the Yud and the Gimel, phonetically speaking, are near to one another. In fact, the Yemenites, they pronounce different, they've got very subtle differences of pronunciation, the oldest traditions. So they have two gimels, gimel with a dagesh and without. Without the dagesh is j. J.
J.
Yeah. With the dagesh is a g. J. G and j. And the yud also, they pronounce very similar. Yud. Yud is not j, but it's g. What's it? Very similar. Yud and gimel are phonetically interrelated. And therefore, if you go to the roots of the Hebrew language, you'll often find that there's a common factor between when the root letter of the word is a gimel and when it's a yud. They're very close. So therefore he says, to think is hogo. So therefore, when the Western philosophy comes out, the cogito ergo sum, that means, because I think, therefore it proves I exist, and if I exist, then I also see a world around me. And that, so I know that if I've said there's a world around me that also exists. And then I ask questions, well, who created the world? I know that God exists. But it goes the other way around. The Torah says, the cause of all existence and of all thought is Hashem. And the reason why I exist, because I think all thinks about me. If Hashem wouldn't think about me, I wouldn't exist. And that's an important lesson for Yom Naroim. Hashem has produced me to this world. Why? Because Hashem wants me in this world. And therefore, that's the meaning that Kol Ba'i Olam, every human being in the world, is looked after by God. Because if there's a human being, God thinks of him. By his call, that's why it's called Zichroinus. It's very deep. So therefore, that was what I was saying. That the root of existence is the thought of Hashem. Hashem wants things. He wants the body of the universe to exist. That's why they exist. He wants human beings to exist on this world. And he's concerned, if he wouldn't think of a human being, he wouldn't exist. So if he wouldn't think of me, I wouldn't exist. So they owe everything to Hashem. Now, any other questions? So if you, I'd like now you to continue following in the text. Those are able to, which is the beginning of Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Those are able to follow Hebrew, good to follow inside. And I just explain what we explained yesterday, that Rosh Hashanah is the brain of the year, the head of the year. Rosh is the head. Just like the brain contains the nerve centers for every part of the body, so also Rosh Hashanah contains the nerve center that connects with Hashem for every day of the year. That's why Rosh Hashanah is an important day. So he explains the following. Now, with all the different beings on the earth, Hashem thinks about them and they exist. And the truth is, they can't really change whatever Hashem has put into them. They all have functions, and the functions continue. Hashem has introduced for nearly all the different beings on the earth a way that we call nature. So they follow nature. But the human being is different. The human being has been given nishmat hapo. He's given the soul, the breath of Hashem. In each human being is the breath of Hashem, which is the Yetzer HaTov. But he's also got the Yetzer Ra, which is his natural self. That's the nefesh, as opposed to the neshama. And then he's given something else. He's given the ruach. It's not. If you would just be given a Yetzer HaTov, a good inclination, he's given a spiritual power, then he would be a malach. A malach is, and malachim, they're robots, but they're robots for good. Just like the animals are robots for some of them are very nice animals. They do a lot of good things, but they do it. As a robot, it can't change. But the human being is both. It says, he took afar min arama, which he took the mineral world, and from that he built a body, and he put in the body the soul, which is spiritual. And in the morning we say two brachot, one after the other. Asher yatzah et adam b'chokhma. There's enormous wisdom in the body of every person. And it will feel chol basar, is there something in the body? The body is a self-healer. Hashem heals. That's why if a person's got a good spirit, the body itself can heal most of his illnesses. But that is the body. But then the next bracha is on the soul. The soul is something different. The soul is the Yetzirah Tov. So we've got a Yetzirah Tov and a Yetzirah.
Hold on one second.
So they were half-half. So the question is, which half are you going to follow? In fact, to understand this whole, this passage here, as well as to understand the Gemara we're learning just now, and also what we're going to save quite a few times on Rosh Hashanah, that is the Tzadikim, Rishayim, and Beinonim. Yeah. So the Gemara in Brachot defines who's a Tzadik. That's Yetzer Atov Shoftam. If the judge, which a person appoints in his life, is the good inclination, that makes them into tzaddikim. And who's Rasha? Yetzer Hara Shoftam. That the people who allow themselves to be guided and domineered, in fact, by their animalistic instincts. And who are the Beinonim? Zeh v'zeh Shoftam. They're under both influences. It's good and it's bad. And that's what Gemara says, most of us are Beinonim. Who in our lives, frequently, it's quite true, frequently, we know that the person feels so much he wants to do a certain loving kindness to someone else. He gets a great desire and he'll do that kindness to other people, whatever it is, come what may. He'll go through fire and water to help someone else. So he's filled with it's the power of virtue. And then the other people, other times, the person has a similar type of craving for things that are evil.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tell you something interesting, a good test to do with children. It's a good thing, it starts with children as well. Children also have the beginnings of Yitzhak Tov and Yitzhak. So children, it's a children love chocolate. Yep.
Yeah.
Most children do. No, but especially if it's very tasty. So the father buys for his children a good few bars of the best chocolate.
Amen.
Yep. But then he tells them like this. So, Baseli, you can taste a bit of the chocolate. Yeah, you can have two pieces. But the rest of that bar of chocolate, I want you to go to your cheder and to your friends, those who are poor, and those that can't get such a treat, and give them the chocolate. The rest of the you can take two pieces, and you've got to give 20 pieces to poor children. Haven't got. Yeah. And then it goes, you go and ask the children, 2 months later, you remember when I gave you that tasty chocolate? Do you remember it? Yeah. Do you remember giving it to others? Oh yes. What do you remember most? So the children, many of the children will say, I remember more the happiness. You give us treats quite often, but to give it, that I can give a treat to all these poor children, never have it, that happiness, I don't think I'll ever forget. And that they'll remember after a year. But what the chocolate tasted like, they forgot. So therefore, the Yetzirah, you've got to try and cultivate the children, the love of giving. The love of giving is the Yetzirah Tov. The love of taking is the Yetzirah. So then in life, we're the Beinonim. We're both. So now there's something else connected with all this. There's a phrase which appears here quite often, which I want you to understand, which has a lot to do with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and so on. It uses the phrase, it's used regularly in the Zohar, Itaruta de la Elev, Itaruta de la Tata, Aramaic. The Zohar was written in Aramaic because primarily that uninitiated people shouldn't get hold of it. People knew Hebrew but didn't know the unusual Aramaic or the idioms, because there are lots of things in the Kabbalah that can go to a person's head and go over his head. Not got to be initiated into it. But this is a simple concept. Itarut de la mala, vitarut de la mata. That in life, there are many influences that come from above, which Hashem brings down to the earth, but they're dependent often upon what we do from below. We as human beings, Hashem wants us to go and become aroused to do something good for Hashem and for our virtue, then Hashem will give us blessing from above.
Hit Aruta. What does it mean? Awakening.
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 Like we say, hit orari, we say, wake up. Hit orari.
Wake up.
Kumi orari. Yeah.
Like
how do
you?
Yeah. That's right. Awakening from above and awakening from below.
The show for me is saying the same thing, wake up.
Wake up, yeah. But so therefore, it's what the shofar, very good you mentioned that, the shofar we blow is, the shofar is a sign to wake up. That's why it's something the yeshiva, I found it's more effective than knocking on the door. So you blow the shofar, and then some people do wake up. And by the way, I think I'll have to blow the shofar.
You should get a rooster.
I'll have to blow the shofar this week, and you'll tell me when to blow it. At 6:15 or 6:30?
No, we need a rooster. Like Rabbi.
What time? I'm asking a practical question. Those who sleep here, I want you to get. Some of you may be saying sleepers at night, then I don't expect you to come up. But most of you don't say sleepers at night. We didn't have a minute this morning till late. So therefore, what time should I blow the shofar in the morning?
5:45 a.m.
6:00.
But if I blow it at quarter to six?
Yes.
No,
that's too early.
I need an hour to get up and when the bell rings.
Okay, but that's not fair. I can't. When I blow the shofar, I've got to gauge the average. So therefore, someone who wants to get up even earlier, it's very admirable. But I can't. I'm not allowed to sleep, to steal sleep. Stealing sleep is a type of theft you can never return. Not like stealing money. A person steals money, you can always ask for mechila and give back what he stole. But if I go and blow the shofar at 4:45, then I'll be stealing the sleep of the students.
No, it's
6:45. Quarter to six.
6:15, I think, is because that's a half an hour for everyone to get ready. Yeah, if people don't come at 6:15, it's like a king is inviting us for an audience, and we need 10 people for that audience.
That's it.
And
we need a rooster. This is what people use for thousands.
So you can use a rooster. Bell at
6:15, you can go out and cock-a-doodle-doo instead of
having a rooster. Some do say, just a minute, listen, the voice side. It's true that they say Yom Kippur is Kippurim, so Purim is in some ways greater than Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. However, now we're discussing questions of preparation for Shon and Yom Kippur. So we can make Purim to understand that bring a rooster into the yeshiva. It's good Purim Torah, but not so good for now. So let's talk practically. No, really, I want to ask you. No. And, I think what I would like to do is to ask you if it's okay if our brother shofar at 6:30. Not at 6:15.
6:30? You're saying 6:30?
Ring the bell. We'll ring at 6:15. For some people, it's half an hour. But I think the shofar is a bit more piercing than the bell, so I found. I think it's 6:30. I think that way we might get a minion on time. This morning, someone came to the yeshiva for slichas. One of the people from the area wanted to come. He said, well, there was only a couple of people there, so he left, went elsewhere. Okay. Anyway, not everybody also. It's difficult for them, slichas maybe, but I think we should do our best. I'm going to get back now. So we've got hit ororot to wake up. Now that you say the shofar is a sign of waking up, and the Rambam even says the idea behind the shofar is to wake us up from our sleep. And it's referring here to daydreaming, not only to proper sleep, to daydreaming in the sense that we go through life like in a dream. We think we deal with trivialities, and we think they're reality, and some of the small things are not really of significance, and we ignore the basic principles of life to try to work towards saintly behavior, which is very difficult. We've got to work on that. That's the task of being awake. So that's the wake-up sign given to us as a mitzvah, to blow. Each person should listen to it, and someone should blow it to arouse everybody. But when this is a good example of what means it orot milmala. Why? Because there are 10 reasons for blowing the shofar, and one of them has to do with the giving of the Torah. Why giving of the Torah?
Because the shofar grew, the sound of the shofar grew.
Who blew the shofar?
Hashem shofar.
It was the shofar of Hashem. And we refer to that shofar every day in the Amidah. Where? Whom are we speaking to? When you say Tikkar, blow in the big shofar, which calls freedom to all Am Yisrael. So, who's to blow the shofar? Hashem, as it were, kavayachol, how that works. But otherwise, we do find by the giving of the Torah, which was a complete miracle in any case, that the people heard Hashem speaking, they also heard the sound of the shofar, the kol shofar. So Hashem created a kol shofar, which became very strong and it caused trembling to the people. Just like He created the one time, it was only a one time occurrence on that mountain that it was smoking like a volcano, there was thunder and lightning, at the same time also plants begin to grow on the mountain, and then he revealed His will on that mountain, and then was just go up it. So only after when it was finished. When it finished, it became like any other mountain in Sinai. So that was a miracle which has influenced the whole world, because the Ten Commandments influenced the whole world until today. So it was his orot de la Eila, and also the redemption will be the same, because Tekar b'shofar gadol ha'chiyuv is when the redemption comes, Gula comes, and that's the power that comes from Hashem. So now he says here, the first Rosh Hashanah reminds us of what? Of creation. Creation, was there any arousal from below? Was there? Nothing.
There was not.
There was nothing. So therefore it's only arousal from above. The world began through the chesed of Hashem without any arousal from below. But afterwards, says every year, Rosh Hashanah is the day when Hashem, He examines the world and gives a destiny of reward or punishment of different types to all human beings, called Ba'olam, and here it depends on the arousal from below. So every year the Tkiyat Shofar Rosh Hashanah is from below to bring about from above. That's what he says here. So it's both things. So what is Rosh Hashanah? The first line here. Ein elo toldot maseh adam b'shanah she'avra. It's the result of human actions in the previous year. That means whatever is decreed in Rosh Hashanah, for what the further lot, who's going to die, is not going to die, where there's going to be rain, where it's not going to be rain. So now, this judgment. It's the first time there's no judgment. Hashem gave everything. Complete giver from Yesh Me'ayin. But henceforth, everything depends on human action. What should human beings do? I don't know what Hashem is going to decree on this whole outlook of life of Desh. Yeah? And they're developing an outlook on life that death, it's good to commit suicide if you're killing other people. And the people who've got conventional weapons They said, death to America, death to the Jews of Israel. What's good? I mean, I don't know how Hashem is going to judge them. On the other hand, we also don't know how Hashem is going to judge the Jewish people who are intermarrying and assimilating so fast. And as we learnt already, who has to take responsibility? Those who know what's written in the Bible. Those who are able to learn. And have we done enough to learn so that we can be a good example and make a sanctification of the name of Hashem? Have we done enough to try to attract others who will, when they come in front of the judge, they blame us? They said, you know, I had neighbors here, religious Jews. When at the heavenly court they'll say, well, why didn't you keep Pesach? And why didn't you keep Shabbos? Well, they never invited me. How should I find out about it? You know, Hashem will say, well, you could have called, could have asked them. Well, it was a shame. You know, after all, I regard this being a different, more or less a different religion. Yeah? And that when you come here to Israel, your first question they ask, Atatati or Lodati? Yeah? You tell someone who doesn't wear a kippah, and you say, why do you wear a kippah? And you know that too. I mean, My parents all had nothing to do with the shul. They never went to shul. They never heard the shofar. They never ate matzahs and Pesach. So why should I? I belong to a different group. You're a different religion than I have the religion of agnosticism. Or I have the religion of the communists. I have the religion of just being a nice person. That's my religion. Yeah? And also, I don't like to interfere with others. Yeah? And there might be some who say, I want to battle with the others. So it already shows the real interest in them. So you want to battle with them. The vast majority of Jews who intermarry and assimilate, they will say, it's not my lifestyle. Finished. Ani lo dati. In Israel, it's become already like dati is something else. What? There's different grades of dati. Dati lomi, dati chatzi. But still, there's some. Ani lo dati means I belong to a different nation. It comes in. Some people will say, some people will say, "Ani lo dati v'lo tzioni." And some will say, "Ani tzioni chazak." Yeah. And some of these other datiim, "Hem lo tzioni." Yeah. So there, each person has a good excuse, which he belongs to.
What about if you work in?
So this is something. So just let me finish this sentence here. How are people judged, non-Jews and Jews alike? They're judged on the basis of last year's behavior. But also, Hashem tells every person, when Rosh Hashanah, in heaven, you know, I did give you help. I did give you help, you know, when I especially got some religious Jew, you know, to go and invite you. Yeah? And he wasn't so keen, but I worked on him. He should invite you. Siat Shemaya, whole group should invite you. So why didn't you take notice? So take notice. So, this pitzchuli, how do you get help from heaven? Bitchina pitchu shel ulam. These are idiomatic phrases. Can anyone translate pitchu shel ulam? What's that mean? Petach, what's a petach?
Opening.
An opening, what's the ulam? What's an ulam? Yeah.
Like a hall or a world.
No, ulam with an aleph. What's ulam with an aleph in modern Hebrew?
Ulam, is that a hall? It's
a hall, yes. Yeah. Ulam bishvil chatunot. Yeah, no. They're called ulamot. Yeah? They say, invited to chatuna, ulam tamir.
Banquet.
Ken? Ulam shebinyanei uma. Ulam is a catering hall. A hall.
Porch.
A porch, really. In the original Hebrew, it's a porch. But, so what's it mean, the opening of the porch? More literally, in the Tanakh, ulam is not used for hall. Today it is. But originally it's used for like an entry porch is an ulam. In the Beit HaMikdash, the ulam was, the Beit HaMikdash had an ulam. That means it's called, the big hall is called the courtyard in the Beit HaAzara. There was the Azara, the courtyard. And in fact, you'll find, if you go in the tunnel, you've all been in the tunnel?
Yeah.
You should go. You have to go.
The tunnels?
Especially when it comes on, I think on Chol HaMoed, you can go free. Yeah?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
The tunnels under the
place? We can't go on the place of the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah. And also, on the place of the Mikdash, there's no Mikdash, there's just the mosque. Yeah? There's no Mikdash. But on that place, there used to be Beit HaMikdash. Yeah? Which, unfortunately, some of our cousins are trying to hide and to destroy any signs that was a Beit HaMikdash. So it's very, for that, the shuls of Hashemayim, they'll get straightened out, that's all. But in the tunnel, first of all, you should go into the tunnel, because there you will see also a model of the Beit HaMikdash on screens. And then they'll show you in the tunnel underneath, Ze Neged Ezrat Yisrael, Ze Neged Ezrat Kohen, Ze Neged Ha'ulam, Ze Neged HaKodesh, Ze Neged HaKodesh Kodeshim. So therefore, the tunnel goes all the way along under the Kotel and shows you, when you're opposite, the courtyard where the people, the non-Kohanim, gathered together in the time of the service. Then there was another courtyard, which was called the Ezrat Nashim, for the women. Then there was another courtyard where the Kohanim could stand, and also where there was the large altar. And then there was a special place called the Holy Place. Where, what was in the Holy Place, can you tell me?
The Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the first temple?
Yes.
No, in the Holy Place. What was in the Holy Place? The Kodesh. Kodesh was also called the Kodesh. What was in it?
The Kodesh.
Don't intermingle with the Kodesh, Kodesh, and the Holy of Holies.
It's there, it's there.
The Mizbeach Shel HaLechim, Shulchan HaPanim.
That's right, the table of showbread.
On the other side was the menorah.
The other side, the menorah.
And before that, there was the golden altar.
The golden altar. That was in the Kodesh. And in the Holy of Holies, that's where you had the Holy Ark, and also Sefer Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Luchot, and the Holy Ark, and the cherubs. That was the Holy of Holies. It can be opposite each one. So like this, the Petach Shel Ulam, and in between the Ezrat Yisrael and the Ezrat Kohanim, there was the porch. There was a porch. And that porch had a wide opening. There's a wide opening, the porch, in the temple. So when he says here, Siyata Dishmaya, that comes down from heaven, is like a wide entrance into spiritual and closeness to Hashem. So what's he mean here, Siyata Dishmaya, Petro Sheula? Because this is based upon the statement of the sages. Hashem says to all of us, on Rosh Hashanah, and in fact every day also, because all the time, he says, all I want you to do, in each person's got a struggle inside himself with good and evil. And the constant instances. Am I going to get up? Am I going to be lazy and stay in bed? Am I going to, if somebody says something not so nice, am I going to insult him back? Or am I going to not insult him? Or even if somebody else, I don't like him, am I going to speak bad about him? Or am I going to control it? Won't speak bad, I keep the laws of Rosh Hashanah. What a person says, like I said before, I can either, I feel like, you know, making a noise, but as a result, why shouldn't I make, I'll even go and put on the tape. I might disturb the sleep of my roommate or the next door person, and well, I don't care about it. Or you're going to stop yourself from doing it. So we all in life, am I going to feel angry if the students provoke me a lot. I'm going to say, well, you know, I'm not going to feel angry about it. I have to understand where they come from. Am I going to feel? Look how great I am! That people say all sorts of praises about me. That must be true if they say it. I'm going to say, I know quite well it's not true at all. So each person has got to work on himself. Yeah. And each person is faced constantly with a balance between good and evil. And now it does one good deed or one, it does one little good deed. Hashem says, you do one little good deed and overcome the strength of your more self-centered inclination. And you decide to go the other way, in the good way, even if the improvement you're making is not bigger than the eye of a needle. And that's all you've done. It's a very small step forward. I regard it, got an open gate into spirituality. That's called the Yad Shema Vashem. That's Pitra Shel Ulam. It's referring to that saying of the sages. Because I quote it, Shemosef L'Hashem Itbar Al Shepartach Pitra Shel Mara. Because he went and opened up just with a prick in the Pitra Shel Mara. Some say it means the eye of the needle. Some say it means the point of the needle. All you've done, you opened in your heart a little bit. Hashem says, I'm going to open it wide. That's your entrance. I'll tell you something. Ask people, it's very interesting. Ask some to Bali Tshuva, what was the first point that led you to Yiddishkeit? So I'll give it. One person said to me, he knew nothing about Judaism. Yeah? He knew his mother was Jewish, completely assimilated. I think the father's not Jewish. But he happened to see a person going in the street with the tzitzis out. And he said, what? He didn't know what it was. So I said, what's this? What are you wearing? So he explained about tzitzis. So that got him into things. You never know. Or there's a case, which I've told you, the whole story, and I'll just tell you a little bit about it. It's got to do with the little gardener who got around the yeshiva. There's a certain lady who didn't know anything about Judaism. Her mother refused to speak about it. She came out of the Holocaust, says, well, don't know anything about being Jewish. Yeah? Nothing at all. So she became a stewardess, yeah? In the British Airways. Yeah? A good stewardess. And so she was doing her work in the middle of a flight. The captain of the plane comes up to her and says, tell me, you look Jewish. Are you Jewish? Said, yes, I'm Jewish. Well, you're endangering this flight. Didn't you know?
Danger.
You are causing danger to this flight, the non-Jew said. What do you mean? How am I endangering the flight? Well, I'm sorry, but this flight is not safe now. Why isn't it safe? But the ground crew and the crew, they're not doing the, everyone here is doing what they should do, but you're not doing what you should do if you're Jewish. But today is the day where Jews have to be in the synagogue to pray to God.
Can you ratzon?
And so what's today? What different today from any other day? You said today is the white fast of the Jews. And that's why I'm particular. This aeroplane depends upon the one above. Yes, she said. The one above, what's he got to do with it? I never even knew he existed, came out. No. Who's the one above? It's the God created the world. And he made the Jewish people. At the Day of Atonement, she'd be in the synagogue. Anyway, she got a bit of a shock. When she went home, she asked her mother, what's all this about? This is the Day of Atonement. What is this? What is the white fast? That triggered her off. She became a full Jewess. Yeah, everywhere. It's Queen Balas Jewel. So you never know how a person starts. See, Hashem gives you an opening somewhere. Different ways. That's it. So, it's Pitzro Shalmacha. Okay. Yeah. Now, so I'll just do the next paragraph briefly. Haynu de Iker Rosh Hashanah hu akhviyah haklalit lechol ilnei Hashanah haba'a hanigzeret ala nivra al yesod itarut letata shebishana sheavra. The main aspect of Rosh Hashanah is the general fixing for all matters that will take place in the coming year, decreed upon all creatures on the basis of whatever arousal from below existed in the previous year. Therefore, it's the day of judgment and the day of penitence. Why? This is the next life period, life cycle that Hashem is giving to raise up the lower elevations of spirituality and to bring a greater influence for the whole year. Now, this explains also you're going to tell me Hashem doesn't judge the rest of the year. He does. He judges every day. The Shit of Rabbi Yossi is not a contradiction to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says, person judged every day. And Rabbi Nathan says, every second. So that's the particular individual in his life is judged day by day. But mankind as a whole follows this principle. So let's hope that Hashem is Borach will see this. You never know, that the great saints can have a weight that can outweigh all the cruelties and all the immense destructive powers that are overwhelming so much of mankind. But we have to, you never know, Hashem will perhaps look more upon the great efforts of the saints to worship Him and to improve their saintliness.
Okay.
Any further questions for the next year? Spend any favors for the next year. If not, give them up.
So do you want the job where you get up and you knock on everybody's door?
What, me? I barely can get up in the morning.
You have to go to bed early.